Hello and welcome to Batflips and Nerds, the baseball podcast with a British twist. And I am your host, John McGee. And this is a banner week for British baseball. And that's the focus of this podcast. In case you have been living under a stone, the Great Britain Baseball Club has made the quarterfinals of baseball's European Championships for the first time since 2007. And we're going to focus on that team in this week's episode. It starts with a conversation between me and Chris Knobloch of Baseball Softball UK, who's out in Turin with the guys acting as the in-house broadcaster. Chris brings a great deal of energy, great deal of knowledge, and a great background in broadcasting baseball. And I'm sure you'll enjoy his and my conversation about what's happened already this week, a bit of an inside look on the training field and calling the guys from the booth. Then the second part of the broadcast will be Chris himself having a quick conversation with Kent Blackstone, the second baseman for GB Baseball, making his debut in this tournament, having departed from a playoff push in the Atlantic League with the Southern Maryland Blue Crabs to join the boys in Turin. It's a really fun and exciting and interesting conversation. I'm sure you'll enjoy getting to know Kent. So after the jingle, it's going to be my voice again talking to Chris. Then we'll have a little interlude and Chris will be back with Kent to see you out. I'm delighted to have been joined by Chris Knobloch of Baseball Softball UK and the broadcaster of GB Baseball here in the Euros in Piemonte, Turin, this week. Chris, a real pleasure for you to join me that bright and early this morning, both UK and Italian time, to chat a bit about how the guys are getting on this week. Thanks very much.
Well, it's my pleasure, John. It's been a really fun week here in Turin and a huge honor for me, especially on loan from Baseball Softball UK, as it were, to the Federation and to GB Baseball to help the team out and to get to broadcast these games. It's been a really fun experience. And the fact that the play on the field has been so phenomenal throughout this experience is even better.
Excellent. So I wanted to ask you before we get into the play on the field about how it's been for you being back in the broadcast booth, because that's your background. You've worked both in indie ball with the New Britain Bees and in hockey, both in the Women's Hockey League and in, I believe it's the AHL, isn't it, as well? So being back in the broadcast booth, it's 4 years, I believe, since you've done any broadcasting. So did the old synapses start firing up right away, or have you had to put some practice in the kitchen?
Well, you know, the practice in the kitchen never stops, much to my fiance's chagrin. But no, I mean, to be honest, it was interesting because the European Championships are set up in such an interesting way. You don't really know what the setup's going to be. There are three different setups. And that really took a lot of the nerves out of it for me, but it's been a joy. That's really the only way I can describe it. You know, for 3 hours a night, up to 3 hours a night, obviously these games are a little bit shorter. I get to talk baseball and I get to talk about what I love and discuss what's happening on the field, use my knowledge and the fact that I'm bubbled here with the team to help bring color, bring the story to life. It's really what I love to do. And that's certainly not a knock against my day job at BSUK. I'm happy to be marketing, happy to be doing the commercial stuff as well. But this is such a unique opportunity. And after such a long layoff, as it were, in fact, 4 years as of this week, since I was full-time with the Bees, it's been really, really special. And to be honest, I've been a bit overwhelmed with the reception as well. People have been so kind and so generous in reaching out to me and saying that they've enjoyed it, that it's really touched me. And again, as I said at the beginning, it's been an absolute honor, one of the biggest honors of my lifetime, to have people go, you know, hey, you're the voice of British baseball, you're the voice of GB baseball for this. And I do find it a little ironic that my very American accent is suddenly the voice of British baseball, but you know, it's truly been an honor and an absolute pleasure. And you know, if this turns into more broadcasts with GB, great. If this is it, that's also great. But I'm just enjoying the experience and enjoying this time.
Brilliant. And, you know, as a guy who's sort of been around the houses in terms of covering pro baseball for quite some time in the Atlantic League, how have you found the standard of play generally over the course of the three games that you've had to call so far?
It varies very much squad to squad, as you would expect. And then that's one of the unique things about national teams is obviously it's not like a GM can go out and fill a gap by signing a shortstop unless you want to go through a 7-year process to get him a passport, which is quite a signing process, if I do say so myself, especially as someone who's going through the path to citizenship.
Yeah,
it's not exactly the easiest thing in the world. So it's very interesting. We saw a great game the other day in pool play, Austria versus Greece, where Greece came back with a grand slam to tie it and then walked off in the 12th inning. Up until the 12th inning, it was really crisp play back and forth and everything. In the 12th inning, unfortunately for Austria, their defense fell apart. And that's one of those unique wrinkles that happens in European baseball is that you can have guys with 10, 15 years of professional experience next to guys who've never played pro, who are playing in their national leagues. They're playing, some are playing recreational, some are playing in college, JUCO. And that it creates quite a variance. Not one that we will see much with the Netherlands team, but one that they may see with us to a certain extent because we have that range. Now, I actually view it as an advantage because the pro guys, you can scout them. You can find out anything you need about them. There are players on this GB team. There is no footage of them online. And that, to me, is almost a secret weapon, as it were, in lack of preparation. And that, again, that's a unique thing to the Euros that obviously you don't have in professional ball. There's always footage of someone out there, even if the games are just there. So... It's certainly been up and down. The teams that we've seen so far, Israel was pretty good. They had some pretty good arms. Russia was interesting. Russia's starter, Denis Leonov, was fantastic. He threw 75 strikes out of 100 pitches, but their bullpen was beyond suspect. And their closer, who had actually walk-off balked with Israel, was the one who nearly cost them the game against us. And that was actually... the deciding factor. He decided both of those games effectively for Russia. And that's how GB went through because Russia had to play an extra inning and GB narrowed the gap to 7-6 in the game against Russia. And on the competitive balance points, that's how GB advanced into the championship round, the quarterfinals, instead of going to the relegation round. Don't ask me to do the math. The math is very complicated, but we have it on good authority. We're playing in the quarterfinal tonight, and that's what matters.
we'll come to that in a minute. I wanted to ask you about the squad. You've alluded to the fact that it's a mix here. You've got guys like Kent Blackstone and Alex Crosby who are playing in the Atlantic League, Shamoy Christopher, who's playing in the American Association at a really, really high level as well. And then guys who are playing for the Mets, you know, Zach Stroman and Jordan Edmonds. But on paper, it's certainly in the lineup side of things as strong a British baseball squad as many have seen. You know, we've been talking to Liam Carroll, the former coach. He said he'd have loved to have had this lineup in the last couple of Euros that he's looked after himself. And they put it together against France and then later in the game against Russia. What have you seen from the guys? It seems like a bunch who's bonded really quickly.
Oh, absolutely. Drew Spencer, this is obviously his first European championship at the helm of the senior team. He did have the great Euro success with the U23s, both in 2019 and then doubling up on that success this year. Incidentally, the last time any GB squad beat the Netherlands was in 2019 and Drew Spencer was manager.
Yep.
Save that one in the tickler file, just in case, knock wood. But It is a mixed squad, but it's a very strong offensively squad. And you have Blackstone and Crosby. Blackstone's the table setter in Southern Maryland. He's got good power into the gap. He's got some decent speed. Crosby is a powerful hitter, left-handed hitter, good pull hitter. And then you're balancing out with guys like Ben Andrews, who can hit from the right side, can hit for power, hit for average. Gabriel Rincones Jr. has come alive now. He scuffled a little bit in the first two games. He scored 3 of the 4 runs against Israel, and he straightened that swing out. Now that he's making contact from the left side, he can hit the ball a mile. He's also the youngest guy on the team. So, and shout out to the Edinburgh Cannons. The representative of Scottish baseball here on the GB squad.
Yeah, we were freestyling with Scott in X. I don't know if that's gonna catch on.
well, we'll see. We'll see if that one catches on.
see if we get that into your call later, Chris.
Yeah, well, exactly. And you know, coming into this tournament, I took first glance at the roster when I was sent it by Drew. I went, for the first time, this is a GB team that's built to bash people into the ground. Mm-hmm. That's not a slight against the pitchers at all, but normally GB has been known to have a strong pitching squad with guys like Barry Enright, Gavin Marshall. Now we're looking at a squad that can keep you in the games by scoring runs. Part of me thinks that that's an advantage here in the Euros, where the bullpens by this point get a little bit tired out and the pitchers get tired out. Now, granted, everybody in the quarterfinal round had a day off yesterday, so it won't be as much of a factor today, but the ability to grind out those at-bats, the ability to come back late in games. Even though the first five innings against Russia, for example, I keep coming back to the Russia game because of the comeback. First five innings, GB had no full counts. As soon as Aaron Singh hit that home run, they started grinding out their at-bats more and more and more, and they got him out of the game. And that's what this squad can do. They're very tough to get an out against, 1 through 9. And I think that's really the hallmark of this team. It's a no-quit team. It feels like a cliche to say it, but when you look at how they've played the games, in playing against France, they knew that they had to keep the lead at a certain level. They did so. And the rookie pitchers were fantastic out of the pen to lock that game down. And Sabiston, who else was in that game? That was Fred Heim and
Freddie Mosier.
Freddie Mosier, yeah. They were great out of the pen. Austin Hassani was very good in his debut as well against Russia. So the bullpen's been very solid. The young guys have been very solid. And that partially, I believe, speaks to the lack of scouting on them. But also they've got very good fastballs and they're locating very well. Mm. And I will say this about Shamoy Christopher. He's one of the best pitch framers I've ever seen behind the plate. He is very, very good at getting that frame in. And that's very important with guys throwing changeups the way that they do, especially down low and away. So there, while the talent is mixed, the team has gelled really, really well together. There's no egos. Nashawn Thomas didn't start on Tuesday. Didn't matter. It was all about the team, as Stroman was in. So it's an exciting opportunity for them as well. We've got a few guys who've been with the team, like Greg Hendricks. This is his fifth Euros. He's never seen the success before. Dan Cooper, he's never seen the success before. It's special to them. And when everything was done and dusted and everything went through, there was just this kind of moment. I was having a couple chats with the guys and they're going, it hasn't sunk in yet. This is amazing. This is what we've been trying to do for years and years and years. And what makes it even more cool, and this is something that Drew Spencer, Josh Chetwin, and John Boyd helped me out with. There are 7 homegrown players on the roster, which is a tie for the most since 2001, when there were 8. There were also 7 in 2016. And by homegrown, I mean players who played youth ball in Great Britain, in the UK. And what that speaks to as well is how strong the program is, that the program is able to draw not just from the Southern Maryland Blue Crabs and the Sioux Falls Canaries, but from the London Mets, from the Edinburgh Cannons, from perhaps it'll be Hearts next, maybe Bristol, maybe
Hull, Grant Carrier's Hull.
Hull, exactly. So it shows that there is this pathway. There is the ability to play baseball in Britain and represent your country. And then on the flip side of things, we have 4 guys from the British Virgin Islands, a tiny islands in the Atlantic. And yet these 4 guys are representing a population upwards of 70 million around the world, which is really, really cool. And they don't have much baseball infrastructure on their island. And yet they are well known on the island. There've been people who waking up 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning to watch the games.
Amazing.
Huge support. And so it's just really cool. one of the things I mentioned to someone, I forget who it was, is really this is all four. This is from all the corners of, I say Great Britain, although that doesn't actually make sense. It's all four corners of the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
And it is truly the expanse of the nation that is being represented here. And that's really, really cool. And to see these guys get along and gel the way they have has been great.
And obviously, you've touched on already that the guys went through on a sort of a count back rule, which I won't ask you to break down the maths, but it's fair to say that this is a really tough draw. I mean, the French squad is all, it's not the best French squad we've seen, but it's always very competitive. They have a very strong domestic league. Israel is always a good squad. It's not as strong mm-hmm. as the squad that they sent to the Olympics, but you've got Ty Kelly, former major yeah. league hitter.
Well, I mean, Ty Kelly did not. He was on base every time. I think he racked up somewhere. It was between 14 and 16 total bases against.
Yeah, Great exactly. Britain. And then you've
what do you do that? You tip your cap. Okay, you're Ty Kelly. We move on.
Exactly. And then a Russian squad that had some interesting names that sounded half Russian, but also very Cuban. We're not going to go into how they end up with a lot of Cuban players on the team. They just are there. And some of those, I mean, that's, again, a very, very strong domestic league in Cuba. Your qualifier who, you know, with the greatest of respect to Greece and Belgium and Croatia, are the team one would anticipate that GB would see off quite easily, was also probably the strongest qualifier. So in terms of groups, it couldn't have been harder, honestly. And to get through that group is a real achievement, even if it's done so in a circuitous fashion.
Absolutely. And you know, even though it was on these tiebreaker points, the team put themselves in a position to advance. And yeah. I hate to say that wins and losses don't matter, but in pool play, they matter, but not as much as staying in every game, grinding out your at-bats, making your pitch, making sure that you are in every game. To be honest, there was a little bit of nerves in the Israel game when they were up by 7 runs as we started to head into the later innings. There is a 10-run mercy rule after 7 and a 15-run mercy rule after 5. We weren't in danger of the 15 run rule, but had that game ended by mercy rule, we weren't going anywhere. And so even just finishing the game, which sounds weird in baseball, but in finishing the game and keeping it close, that's what they did, what they needed to do. And you know what? That may be how GB goes far in this tournament. It's not necessarily about, you know, the most flashy way of winning or about winning by a wide margin. It's doing just enough to win. And yet this team is so unselfish in their play that is absolutely what they're ready to do. They're ready to go out, lay their body on the line. Aaron Singh's already got a nice bruise across the Great Britain letters from when he got hit. I believe that was against Russia too. It is very interesting to see how this has all come together and how they're playing. It's almost tactical playing, if you can say that there's such a thing in baseball. But now pool play doesn't matter. And it's incredibly important that, yeah, we went 1-2 in the pool, but you know what? It's win 3 games now. That's it. You got to go 3-0 and that's it. GB hasn't been here since 2007, as I mentioned before. Their best ever finish in the Euros is 2nd. Mm-hmm. There's what you got. And you know what?
That was a year when they beat teams who they really had no business beating, you know?
Absolutely. And to be honest, the pathway here is not easy. There's a chance, and this is getting presumptive, and I don't want to do that, but there would be a chance that in order to win the championships, it would be the Netherlands, Spain, and Italy in a row. Obviously, a lot would have to happen there, but that is about as tough as you can have it in Europe, unless you add the Czech Republic in there just for fun. So it's not an easy path, and yet there's no intimidation here with this team. This GB team doesn't really care that the Dutch team has a lot of professionals or that their brothers are in the major leagues. They don't really, that is of no relevance, no importance to this GB squad. What matters to them is that they're executing as best they can, and that will get them the best possible result. And if that result is good enough to win, I personally think that if they play their best, it is going to be good enough to win, then that will do the job. And that's really what it's about. And I now I sound like I'm from New England with the New England Patriots. Do your job. But that's really what it boils down to is that if this team executes, there is not a team in this competition they cannot beat.
Yeah, and no one remembers that the England-Italia 90 squad just scraped through their group as well by winning against Egypt in their final game. They got to the semi-finals and everyone remembers Gazza crying. Everyone remembers David Platt's goal. So it could be exactly the same thing here. You touched on the Netherlands there. That's the squad that GB faces. Hopefully we'll touch on the weather in a moment at 7:30 mm-hmm. this evening. It's a good Netherlands squad. Certainly any Netherlands squad that includes the name Roger Bernardino, a man who's played over mm-hmm. 500 major league games and has twice yep. won the Korean series, is never going to be a bad Netherlands squad. But it's not the sort of starry squad of AAA and AA guys that we've come to anticipate. There's guys with a lot of experience, guys like Signar Vlupstok, who I have to mention because it's the greatest name in baseball, yep. who's played a lot of AA. There's Jandido Trump, who's played at AAA. But again,
if you've watched the World Baseball Classic, you're not going to recognize this team to a certain extent. And that's the best way to put it.
It's not the infield of shortstops, is it, right? It's not Simmons and Bogarts and Profar.
Yeah, exactly. there are a lot fewer guys from the former Netherlands Antilles, as we would call it, mm-hmm. Curaçao and Antigua. But it is still a very good team. And the Netherlands were very good in pool play. They've got some good arms. They certainly have some good hitters. They have a very fast infield outfield between Bernardina and Scoop and all those guys. So this is a team that actually matches up quite similarly to Great Britain, mm-hmm. but they maybe they've got more A's next to their name. They've got AA, they've got AAA, whereas GB has guys who've played in the American Association and the Atlantic League and. But at the same time, there's when you look at this Dutch squad, they haven't been tested nearly the way that GB's been tested. And GB's been tested in every single game. In talking with the players, they actually, with the France game, they never thought France was out of it. And the French lineup is much better than they've played. Their catcher, Andy Pass, is phenomenal. We saw him take some swings that were, you know, eye-opening. And they kind of just, unfortunately for them, fortunately for us, they didn't live up to their roster to a certain extent. So while this Netherlands team is good, it is not of the caliber that we've seen in the past. And it does feel a little bit like there's some of this name intimidation, as it were. The aura of the Netherlands may be setting something up that the team will see if they can actually deliver it. But I think it's much more up in the air than perhaps previous matchups, which if you've looked at the record book, it's not so pretty for GB in terms of their senior play against the Netherlands. In fact, they have never beaten the Netherlands. At the junior level, however, it's a whole other story. And Drew Spencer's team beating the Netherlands in 2019, that is, you know, there is a weakness. There's a hole in the side of the Death Star, as it were. And that to me, and now having Drew in charge of the senior team and having the ability to bring that experience right to the seniors and with a number of U23 players who are on that squad who know what it's like to beat the Netherlands.
What you're saying is Paul Kirkpatrick's going to shut them out over nine again.
I mean, I couldn't possibly comment, but there would be no greater joy in my life to watch him, you know, have him throw nine strong 90 pitches and just strike out the side in order. But hey, if I asked him, I'm sure that's exactly what he would say too.
He's a confident boy.
Yes, he is. So it'll be interesting. Obviously, we're not announcing starters. We're not announcing pitching staff. You know, that's one of those things that if the Netherlands had wanted to announce theirs, by all means, they're welcome to. We're not going to give them the courtesy because this is the European Championships. This is where everything gets played close to the vest. This is where it gets real interesting. But
you know, you touched on this earlier. So, you know, assuming that GB could pick from any of their starters given the off day, there's also Dan Cooper and Greg Hendricks, the two most experienced bullpen members who haven't pitched at all yet. And guys like Austin Hassani and Liam Saverston, who looked excellent in their first outings, very little will have been seen of them. It's a fresh, ready staff that could go at full tilt, right? And that gives us a chance.
Not only that, but as we saw in the France game, and poor Alex Webb, Drew's not afraid to make the change when he needs to. Hmm. Alex would know this because he was an out away from getting the win, and then Sabiston came in. But that was a key moment in the game. Drew made the call he had to make, and it paid off. I would expect that if any of the GB pitchers are struggling today, next man up. And there's no ego today, especially with that. The pitching staff is ready to do just what they need to do. They'll throw what they need to throw. And you know, you touched on Hendricks and Cooper and Hassani. One of the guys who's actually a key linchpin to this is Ethan Solomon. He's the oldest guy on the team. I've dubbed him father of the house, to use the term in parlance. His numbers in the rushing game weren't great. If you take away the fourth inning where he inherited all those runners, he did not allow a base runner.
There was an error from the umpire.
I couldn't possibly comment.
Very professional.
No, and he throws decently hard, but he's got a great motion. And a lot of the GB pitchers throw good fastball, good changeup, framed well by Shamoy Christopher. And if they've got those pitches going, it can give you different looks based on their arm angles. It can give you different looks based on who's throwing the slider, who's throwing the curveball, a couple guys throwing the cutter. And it really will give it's all about execution for them. They've just got to execute. But if there's a situation where a pitcher runs into trouble, they'll make the change, and that's going to be essential. Meanwhile, the batters know what they have to do. They took the lead versus France. They never gave it back. They had to fight back against Russia. They nearly pulled it off. Israel, that was a much tougher task. They're going to need to get out and score runs. And GB is the away team tonight. We're under the lights. We're at Torino, which is where we played Russia, which is the stadium, as it were. So of the three, Avellana has the beautiful castle in the outfield and left field. Settimo is where we played against Israel. That's a fun little field. But this is the stadium. This is Torino. This is downtown Turin. It's a beautiful little stadium. It's got seating for, I'd probably guess, 2,000 all told. And when the Italians were playing there, their games were on Sky. It gets loud. And they had like the thunder sticks and the horns. It was like a football audience, to be honest. Wow. Your football, not my football. So it can be a fun little stadium. It's prime time. This GB team's got all day to prepare. They had all day yesterday to prepare. The stars are aligning. The question is whether or not we will be able to see those stars through the clouds tonight.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the weather. I just tipped me off that the prognosis was not looking great. And I've looked and it looks like thunderstorms from about 2 o'clock your time through till about 11:30. So you're going to be playing midnight baseball, I think.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time, a little baseball in the midnight sun. It's happened before. I don't think that would necessarily be the case. I think they take a look at the schedule. I know they really, really want to get all the games in, as you can imagine, and quarterfinal, semis, and finals take precedence over the relegation games. So a cancellation today wouldn't necessarily change anything. There are some tiebreaker rules if we start running low on time in the tournament. Unfortunately, they would work against GB as the lower seeded team, but that's not something we're focused on just yet. We'll play it by ear. We'll put our trust in the Italian grounds crew. That is the one, by the way, if you saw on my Twitter earlier this week, where they have the Vespa that rakes the field. And originally I was being really like, oh, haha, that's very funny. Actually works great. Would love to see that in the UK more, with scooters raking the fields, because they're able to do it in like 5 minutes and it looks great, but I digress. So it could be a little touch and go. The beautiful thing, though, is that we have so many pitchers on the GB roster who are well rested that it's not going to be this guy's warmed up, well, he's got to go. It will be a let's see how things play out. We'll get the guy who needs to warm up. We'll get the guy who's going to pitch. We'll play it by ear and we'll take it as it comes. And this GB team certainly has been flexible. I mean, when you consider they're flying in from all around the world to Milan and Turin and God knows where they've had to stop and their layovers. And one of the great stories of the Southern Maryland guys, they were playing on Long Island. They drove back to Southern Maryland. It's about a 7-hour bus ride. I've done it many a time. Then they flew up to JFK and then flew to Milan. So they effectively did this giant loop around the mid-Atlantic to get to Israel, to Italy. So but compared to that, if there's a rain delay, that's not a problem. We're all here where we, you know, all 24 guys ready to rock and roll, and we're ready to go.
Great. Well, Chris, thank you so much for your time. And touch wood, you're going to be able to chat to one of the players for us, and we'll put that out alongside this conversation later today. If people have had their appetite whet by this conversation, where's the right place to go to make sure that they can listen into your call? Fingers crossed this evening, if not, probably tomorrow morning.
We'll send out all the info on social media, depending when this is released. It will be a few hours before game time, I believe. And as you mentioned, I will be trying to speak with Kent Blackstone later today. I have mentioned it in this interview, but actually I worked for Stan Clyburn, who is Kent Blackstone and Alex Crosby's manager in Southern Maryland. So I was his director of baseball operations and broadcaster in New Britain. So we've got a weird connection. Baseball gets very, very small when you get into the Atlantic League and the European Championship. So it's very funny. So we'll try and have a conversation later with Kent Blackstone. Later tonight, the game will be on baseballsoftball.tv. It'll be very similar to the other setups that we've had so far. I will be on the call. Potentially, this could be my last game that I'm calling because the semifinals and finals will be done by a television crew with the 6-camera setup. We'll see how that goes. I will very much ask them if I can join their call, especially if GB advances. I will do everything I can to make sure we have a good English broadcast at the very least, whether it's myself or someone else, but to make sure that the GB fans at home can watch. Baseballsoftball.tv, check out all the statistics, WBSCEurope.org, and get involved. The players love seeing the support from back home, from all around the world, whether it's their families in the US, their families in the British Virgin Islands, their families back in London, or anywhere else in the United Kingdom, especially Scotland, Hull. There's so many players from all around the UK. Get involved. Use the hashtag Let's Go GB. Tell the players you're supporting them. They absolutely love the support that they've received here. I mean, to be honest, and this is one of the things that the GB program struggles with, is this is not the most well-funded program in the world. And everybody knows that. It's something that's certainly being worked on very hard by both the British Baseball Federation and BSUK. Certainly GB is working on that. And that's why you should buy the merchandise, by the way.
Yeah, do that.
buy the merchandise. The red jerseys are on sale. The new red jerseys that were issued by the WBSC are on sale during the championships only. So get them while they're hot. But all of that money goes back to the team. And a lot of these guys have paid their own way to be here. They have put in time off from work. They put in time off from school, time off from their professional seasons. I mean, for example, Crosby and Blackstone are in the middle of a playoff push, and they've opted to represent their country because that's how much it means to them. The name on the front means so much more than the number on the back. So tell them that you're behind this team. Show them your support. Tweet the hashtag, use it on Instagram, send a video. If you tag GB Baseball, if you tag myself, if you tag Mariana Casal, who's doing a phenomenal job as the head of media for GB Baseball, we'll get it to the team. And that makes so much of a difference in a competition like this, where it's all about pride and honor and country compared to a professional environment. So get behind the team. I hope you'll tune in tonight. And please, let's go GB.
Let's go GB. That's the right way to end it. Thanks so much for your time, Chris.
Much appreciated, John. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning into Bat Flips and Nerds. I am not a regular host of this podcast. My name is Chris Knobloch. I am with Baseball Softball UK, on loan with the GB Baseball National Team, and now on loan to Bat Flips and Nerds. I am joined by GB second baseman Kent Blackstone, also a player for the Southern Maryland Blue Crabs in the Atlantic League of Professional Baseball. Kent, thanks so much for joining us today.
Chris, no problem, man. Thanks for having me.
So we're here in Turin, Italy, waiting for the quarterfinal game. Talk to me a little bit about what it's been like being here so far. You flew in late last week. Pool play is now over. GB obviously advancing to the quarterfinals. How's it been so far? What's the experience been like?
Yeah, you know, it's been super unique experience. Just kind of flying off the plane, having a day to kind of recover and then hopping right into pool play and games. I mean, Crosby and I obviously have been playing a full season, so it's not like we're kind of jumping in off the couch. But I mean, it's been a great experience so far for all of us. And I mean, like you said, just us being able to kind of sneak into pool play has been great. Getting this opportunity to take on the Dutch in the quarterfinals and feeling good, feeling like we're prepared and ready to go to battle.
You mentioned you are with the Southern Maryland Blue Crabs along with your teammate, both with Great Britain and with the Blue Crabs, Alex Crosby. That season's going pretty well. You guys are pushing for a playoff spot. Talk a little bit about how things are going back in the pros, back in North America.
Yeah. So, I mean, they haven't missed a beat there. I think they've won four of five or five of six. They just got into first place yesterday. So the experience to try to get over here, I mean, it took a little kind of talking with Stan and Courtney and getting that kind of eased over, because they obviously want us there during this playoff push. A caveat to that, in 2019, I actually didn't come to Germany for the same reason. So this time around, it helped that Crosby was on the same team, and he was like, dude, you got to do this. And I mean, I couldn't be happier to be here and be a part of something like this. So,
and obviously it's a big step for the Blue Crabs management. As you mentioned, Courtney Knickel, the general manager, Stan Clyburn, who I know from my experience in New Britain, great skipper. And obviously we're very thankful to have you with the team, and it's great that they were able to give you this opportunity. This is your first time representing Great Britain. What's that like? How cool is it to represent a country on the baseball diamond and in a tournament like this?
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I mean, I have a bunch of family over in England. So, I mean, they're all talking to me on Facebook saying good luck. And obviously, my parents are, I mean, it's just cool to see all the people following me and this experience back home and tuning into the games. And but I mean, yeah, like you said, I mean, Stan is the ultimate players coach. So when we came to him and we were like, we want to do this, he's like, I'll never hold you back from something, especially going to play for your country. So he's been great about it. Obviously, we're going to come back after this and hop right into another road trip. So it's just, we keep moving and playing ball. And I mean, it's what more can you ask for? So
absolutely. Now to the business at hand, as it were. We have the Dutch coming up tonight, tough opponent, defending champions. They've won the most European championships, and they've got a very good squad. Talk a little bit about what you're feeling heading into this game, what you're going to look for tonight. Certainly, it's going to be an interesting game under the lights at Torino, which is where the comeback attempt against Russia came into play. So, yeah, just talk a little bit about tonight's game.
I mean, we've obviously gone over the Dutch. We have a meeting in about 30 minutes to go over kind of reports. And I will say this coaching staff does an extensive research on pitching, position players. They cover the whole all the bases. I mean, it's very top line. Drew, Brad, the rest of the guys. I mean, they do a phenomenal job getting us prepared. And so we just take that information, use it, and basically just go out and compete. And obviously, the Dutch are a great team, but in this game, anyone can win at any time. And just we have a lineup that if guys start clicking, we can be dangerous. So that's the goal for tonight. And just take it at bat by bat, pitch by pitch, and see where the chips fall.
One more question before we get to the final one here. Now, you have an interesting story about how you got your name that really works in this situation. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so my mom was born in the county of Kent in England, and that's basically how I got my name. So it's kind of cool to be able to, I mean, honestly, just kind of be thrown into the mix of the Great Britain culture. And I mean, we visit my family every year, but just kind of being a part of that, meeting some guys and being able to compete has been awesome.
So what's your message to the fans back home? Those who will be watching on baseball, softball TV later tonight. Those who've been following along with maybe with the Blue Crabs and have become fans of you. What's your message to them?
God save the Queen.